Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd is our guest today. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
It's always good to have you.
Always good to be had.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our texting line, which is 580-485-0837. Of course, we always have our email, which is hourofpower32@gmail.com. Our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, and we do record in two parts, and we will post it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, when the program's over. If you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, send them there, have them go to therockchristianmusic.com, and then click on Hour of Power, and then click on whichever day they missed, like Wednesday, and you can hear the message. It's a few minutes after the program's over before we get it posted. I think maybe I've covered everything. Pastor, will you pray to start us out?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we do come before, we're thankful for this program, for this ministry that you raised up, Father, and I know that it is by faith that we do everything that we do for you, Father. We believe today that this word will go out over the internet, over Facebook, over every means, and people will share it with others. It'll get right where it needs to get, Father. We believe, Father, this morning that you will anoint and equip us. We ask your blessing upon this program, that the words that are spoken, the scriptures that are read, be what you'd have us to do. Father, we're not here with our own agenda. We're simply here to offer ourselves as your servants this morning, your people, that we might share with others your love and your grace. I pray for all of our listeners, Lord God. I pray that as we read your word, that faith would rise up in our hearts. And that, Father, we might release that faith today, that your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask your grace, your blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
I got to finish sending my text here.
I see. Well, I've got my notebook ready. You told me you had a lot of scriptures. You didn't know if we'd get to them today.
I do.
But I want to get my notebook ready, so I'll be ready just in case.
You are going to be ready. I'm hitting the send button there to Joe Pyatt. I send Joe Pyatt a text.
All right.
I told him to wipe the sleepy out of his eyes and get tuned in, or we'll sick the Lord on him.
Amen.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Glad you joined us. Why don't we open our Bibles together to Mark chapter 9? We'll get started. I didn't have a single note this morning. I woke up. I said, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever, wherever you want to go. And immediately I was reminded of this passage of Scripture. Just wasn't thinking about it. Just boom, there it was. So I believe that this is what the Lord would have us to start with today in Mark chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 14 through 27 there in Mark 9. Verse 14 through 27. Praise the Lord. I'm believing God to bless his word as we study it. Amen. It says, when they came to the other disciples, that would be Jesus and Peter, James, and John, who had gone up onto the mountain with Jesus. When they came back down, they came to other disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder, and they ran to greet him. Now, Jesus had just been transfigured. In other words, his clothes became bright white. You probably know about that. If you don't, you can read about it right in front of where we're reading. And I think there was still a residue of that anointing on Jesus, because when the people saw Jesus, something just lit up in them, and they were just, wow, you know. And Jesus asked them, what are you arguing about? What are you arguing with them about? Verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son, who's possessed by a spirit that robbed him of speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So it kind of implies some kind of a seizure. And it was caused by a spiritual condition. But this thing would cause him to have seizures, literally grind his teeth together. He said, I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit. But they could not. Doesn't say they would not, says they could not. Jesus replies in verse 19, watch this. He says, O unbelieving generation, unbelieving generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? And then he said, bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the spirit saw the Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. I want you to see this. Jesus doesn't get excited. He's in total control. The enemy will use symptoms. Would you agree with me that this boy having these seizures, falling to the ground, gnashing his teeth, foaming at the mouth, that those are symptoms?
Yes.
Here's the point that I want to make, first point of the day. The enemy will always try to use symptoms to get your eyes off of God's power. Mm-hmm. The enemy would rather have you look at the situation than the Savior. He'd rather have you focus on the problem than the promise. So this boy falls on the ground and starts just flopping around like a fish foaming at the mouth, and Jesus is not rattled at all. Here's what he says. How long has he been like this? Doesn't sound like he's too rattled. From childhood, the father answered, it's often thrown him into the fire and the water to kill him. But watch these words. But if you can do anything, take pity on us, have mercy on us, and help us. This father said, if you can do anything. Doesn't sound like he's totally convinced, does it? Mm-mm. But he's just, he needs help. And he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us, have mercy, help us. Look at Jesus' response in that 22nd verse. If you can. That's it. I believe Jesus looked at, the guy goes, if you can help us, please. And Jesus goes, if you can. It's almost like, let me say the part he didn't say. Who do you think you're talking to? What power do you think you're accessing? This is, we're talking about God's power here. We're not talking about, you know, hey, doc, if you got a pill that can help me, you know, please, you know, give me this. If there's some experimental study, I'll take anything. Right now, I'll take anything. Don't forget that we're talking about, this man came to Jesus because Jesus had a reputation for healing, for being able to overcome circumstances that other powers couldn't overcome, because Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. All. If you want to write down that scripture, that's Acts 10:38. Now Jesus replies to him, if you can. And then he said these words, and this is where our title comes from today, Everything is Possible. Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible. Is that the end of the sentence? No, it's not. He said, everything is possible for him or them or those who believe. So remember what he said to him up there in verse 19? They said, I brought my son but to the disciples to receive help, but they couldn't help. And Jesus turned, I believe, looked right at the disciples and says, oh, unbelieving generation. All you got to do is believe. If you would believe, then God's power can work. How many would agree with me that it's easier to say, I believe, than it is to actually believe? Believing is not always easy, especially when your son's laying on the ground foaming at the mouth and gnashing his teeth. It's not always easy, because I'm looking with my eyes at that situation, and it's sometimes hard to look past the circumstance. And I admit that. In my own life, I bet in your life, even in the scriptures, we see that over and over again. That even though God is completely trustworthy, that means he's worthy of my trust. He's completely faithful. He's never unfaithful. He's never made a promise that he wouldn't keep or didn't keep. But yet we find it hard to trust him. Look, being honest, we find it difficult to trust God at times and to believe that what he said is how it is. It takes faith. Monica, I guarantee you she can answer this question. How does faith come? The reason she can answer that question so well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is because I repeat that as a pastor. I constantly reinforce that to our people because faith is how God's kingdom works. Walmart don't work by faith. Mm-hmm. You go to Walmart, what do they want? What do you got to have before you're getting out of there with stuff? You got to have the currency. Now, if you're in, when we went to Walmart down there in Honduras, we didn't walk in there and just, I don't think we paid with American dollars. Maybe we did because they love American dollars. But if you go to another place where they don't accept American currency, you got to have the correct currency. Right? So where I'm going with this is this. In heaven's, heaven mart, where God's got everything stored up for us, in order to appropriate the goods that we want and need and desire, we've got to use the correct currency. There has to be an exchange. I mean, it's already ours, but we have to appropriate it. God has already laid it up for us, but we have to get it. And the currency or the conduit that gets it for us is faith. And faith doesn't come by trying to have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Rhema, that means it's a revelation to you. It's where God speaks and you go, oh, I get it. Yes. God said this. And if God said it, then that's how it is. But the problem is a lot of times we're trying to operate in what we perceive or call faith, but it's not even really faith. It's just simply hope. I hope so. Or I'm choosing to believe this. You know, in the circles of Christianity that I run around in, you hear the words, I'm believing. You heard me use it repeatedly this morning in my prayer. Father, we're believing. We're believing. And you say, well, next time you catch yourself saying that, or you hear someone saying, well, I'm believing I'm getting a new job, da 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 da. I'm believing that this is going to happen. I'm believing that that's going to happen. Here's what we want to stop and ask. Based on what are you believing that? Is it just because you want it? Because that's not going to make it happen. Is it just because this, that? It's got to be based on I'm believing that. And when we're talking about the things of God, like grace and forgiveness and protection and, of course, healing, I'm believing that that I'm receiving my healing. Based on what? Based on the fact that you need it, because that's not gonna get it. You want it, that's not gonna get it. It's got to be based on the fact that you know that God provided it for you. It's yours to have, and He wants you to have it. So faith comes by hearing. So Jesus said to this father there in verse 23 of Mark 9, "If you can," because the father said, "If you can help us, please do." She says, "If you can." Everything's possible to him that believes. And here's a great response. Look at this next verse. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." Mm. If he didn't believe, he wouldn't have been coming to Jesus in the first place, right? If we didn't believe, we wouldn't pray. But it's possible for us to pray because we believe in Jesus, but not believe while we're praying. In other words, I can be a believer that's operating in unbelief. I can be kind of, and we all do it. We all do it. I do it. I don't want to do it, but I still sometimes struggle. And the way to overcome that is what we're going to be studying today, so don't go anywhere and get your notebook out. We're going to be studying. This father said, "Help me overcome my unbelief." And Jesus did help him overcome his unbelief. And I believe Jesus is going to help us overcome unbelief today. He said, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." And Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene. He rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you." You hear that? I command you. I'm not, oh, please. He said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Be specific about it. The spirit shrieked and convulsed and violently came out, and the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, oh, he's dead. In other words, it looked worse before it looked better. Yeah, you can write that down. Sometimes it will look worse before it looks better. That doesn't mean faith is not working. It may very well be confirmation that your faith is working. Because you started praying and to you it looks worse. But it's not. Receive that. I received that. Yes, amen. My faith is working. Yes, amen. Now, see, you can receive the truth that I share with you, or you can say, well, I don't know. And I can promise you this, nobody can make you believe. And I'm not saying that you don't believe. I know we all want to believe, so just do. Just choose to. Choose to agree with what God's word says. The boy fell to the ground. He looked dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. In other words, Jesus helped this father with his unbelief. Now, remember Jesus had told the disciples, he said, I brought them to your disciples for help, but they couldn't do it. Didn't say he wouldn't do it. Didn't say they didn't try. How did the father know they couldn't do it? Apparently, even though it's not recorded, my guess is they tried, and it didn't work. I prayed, but it didn't work. Why not? Because praying with unbelief is not going to get results. And I've got to admit before God that even though I am a believer in God and a believer in Jesus, and I even believe that God has the power to do whatever God wants to do, for whatever reason, there's still one more step that I need to take, and that is that I need to believe that God not only can do it, but he wants to do it and will do it or has done it.
Amen.
I've got to cross that threshold. I can't just come right up to the, I can't drive up to the parking lot of the grocery store and expect to eat. I've got to go in, appropriate it, take it home and cook it, or maybe I'll buy a banana, I'll just peel it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a little easier, but I still have to actually cross that threshold of I'm here to get it. Okay, now I've got it. Now I'm taking it and it's mine and I'm using it. Faith takes from the realm of the spirit what God has provided. Faith takes it. I'll take some of that. You know, I got this weird picture in my mind right now, Neva. But we've been a few places where I can remember going to a beautiful buffet, and I'm thinking about old Joe going up there and just taking a little this, taking a little that, taking a little this, take a little. So I think I'll take some of that. Mm-hmm. And then he get done, and I said, boy, I got me some coconut ice cream. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I think I'll take some of that, some strawberry too. It's already there. It's already provided for. It's all inclusive, you might say. It's provided, and all you got to do is believe that it should belong. Yeah, I have a right to that, and I believe I'll take it. I have a right to that. I believe I'll take me some of that. Amen.
Amen.
So we make it too hard. How did you get saved? I'm assuming you're saved, right? You're watching, you know. And if you're not, you certainly can be. Because Jesus died for you, and he loves you, and he wants you saved. No, you don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. That's why Jesus had to come, because we don't deserve it. But he wanted us to have it. So he, in his mercy, died in our place. He, in his mercy, took stripes on his back for our healing. He, in his mercy, paid it all. He redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham could come on us. That's Galatians 3:13. You might want to write that one down. Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse for us. And if you never received his grace and his forgiveness, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I believe. Forgive me my sins. Come into my life as Lord and Savior. I confess you as my Lord. You can say it any way you want to say it. But if you confess and make him the Lord of your life by words, the words of your mouth, and believe what you say in your heart. See, this I'm getting this from Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you need that. It says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. So if that's how I receive his grace for forgiveness, wonder how I would receive his grace for healing or for protection or for provision or any other thing. I bet if I believe it in my heart, say it with my mouth, I'll get it. See, a lot of people in the body of Christ go, I don't know about all that name it and claim it and stuff. I understand because it's been abused. Let's agree on that. It has been abused. There have been people that made it sound like that any old thing you could concoct in your head, if you just said it, you could have it. And that's not the truth. It has to be based on the Word of God. And God, remember, faith comes by hearing from God. So you had to hear from God first. And then you had to believe what God said. And then you speak what God says. Not what you decide to say, but you speak what God says. You say, but I'm needing a car and God's not talking to me about car. Well, you go talk to God about the car. Listen, this is good. You need this. You go talk to God about the car until God talks to you about the car.
That's good.
And then when God talks to you about the car, you say what he said, not what you wanted him to said. See, that's how it's supposed to work. But what we do, we tend to want to serve God as his advisor. Let me tell you what you need to do for me today, God. Well, newsflash, he's God. So what I need to do is go, and he's a good God. He's a loving heavenly, he's better than any earthly father that ever lived. And you think about this, if you're a decent person at all and you got kids or in your life, grandkids, niece, nephew, whoever, doesn't even matter. It could be the neighbor's kid for all that matter. And you'll say, oh, that little boy needs a new pair of shoes. Now let me ask you a question. That neighbor kid don't even belong to you. He needs a new pair of shoes. Do you have any desire whatsoever to get him a pair of shoes? I didn't say, are you going to do it? I just asked, do you desire, I'll put it this way, do you desire him to have new shoes? Or would you like for that little neighbor kid to run around with holes in the toes of his shoes? No, when you see the holes in the toes of his shoes, you have a desire. You'd like to see that little kid with new shoes. And say, what kind of new shoes? Well, I'd like for him to have new shoes that he really likes. I'd like for him to have the shoes that he's happy. And every time he sees his new shoes, whoever got him for him, he's like, wow, my nana got me these shoes, you know. And look at them. Look at that. Look what I got. See, that's the way God is with us. He wants to give us good things. Write this one down. Matthew 7:11. You know how I remember where this is at? Because 7-Eleven. That's where you go to get your stuff. Matthew 7:11 says, if men being evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? You got to ask. But how do I know what to ask for? I go to him first. And if so, I got a desire for this, like I said earlier, car. I need a car. Go talk to God about the car until God talks to you about the car. Then use your faith to call the car. What do you mean, call the car? Speak to the car. That's weird, Pastor. What do you mean, speak to the car? Well, Jesus said if you speak to the mountain will move. But you have to have first heard from God because you have to believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. That's Mark 11:22-24. Where Jesus was talking about using your faith. And he literally said in that passage of scripture, therefore I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. When do you do the believing? When you're praying. When do you actually receive it? When you get it? Nope. You receive it in prayer. Then you get it. What if you don't receive it in prayer? Then you don't get it. I'm teaching you truth. This is the truth. And it's not hard. We make it hard, but it's not. We get our horse way in front of our cart. We start trying to believe things and start trying to speak things in existence simply by our own will. I'm trying to believe. Help me with my unbelief. Praise God. So Jesus helped this father who brought his son because I believe, the guy humbled himself and said, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And Jesus did. He helped him by literally casting this spirit out of him that was causing him to have these situations. And he overcame. He received it. The disciples could not do it. They came to Jesus afterwards. This is verse 28. And the disciples said privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we heal that boy? Why couldn't we receive by faith? And Jesus said this, this kind can only come out by, in my NIV it says prayer only, but I know that in the footnote it also says this, by prayer and fasting. What's fasting? It's where you push aside eating for a period of time as the Lord leads you to do it. And it's let me just put it this way, it's getting serious with God. Now, you might not be able to physically fast food. You may have a condition. You couldn't do that. That'd be terrible for your health or your well-being. But maybe the Lord says to you that, hey, instead of when you get off work today, instead of going home and just turning on that box on the wall and watching the bad news report or whatever else, don't turn that on at all week. But instead, every minute that you would use watching TV normally, I want you to do something different with it. Maybe I want you to read the word, or I want you to pray, or I want you to just do something different. I just don't want you to do that. That'd be fasting from television. Maybe they'd say, well, you know what? I'm getting off of social media for a week. Well, put on there to your social media people, because I know some people can't breathe without it. Put on there, the Lord has led me to fast from social media for a week. I will see you guys after this. Boom, and then just do away with it for a week. That would be fasting. That, you see, why are you doing that? Because I'm getting serious with God. I'm putting something aside, and I'm just crucifying my flesh, putting my flesh in its place, because flesh wants that social media. Flesh wants that food. Flesh wants that TV, whatever. And I'm pushing that aside, and I'm saying, God, you're more important to me than that. And I'm going to take the time that I would spend on that, and I'm going to spend it with you, Father. See why? Because I want to hear from you. Fasting is a time of hearing. In the Bible, it's a time of loosing. It's a time of getting rid of stuff. It brings freedom. Someone asked me one time, a teenage kid, they said, I don't understand how doing without food can help your spiritual life. Just make you hungry. And I told him the story. You probably heard this one about the old man had the two dogs that he would bring into town, and he'd have the dogs fight. I'm not condoning dog fighting, but this is just a story. Had a black dog and a white dog, and one week the black dog would win, and one week the white dog would win, and people were always lining up to gamble and bet on which dog would win, and the old man always knew which dog was going to win. How do you know? Finally, on his death, he wouldn't tell anyone how he always knew, but he always knew. And finally, on his deathbed, someone asked him, said, how'd you always know whether old Blackie was going to win or Whitey was going to win? How'd you know? He goes, pretty simple. Whichever one I feed is the one that's going to win. Mm-hmm. He goes, you starve the one and feed the other, and whoever gets fed has more strength. And a lot of times in our life, we're trying to walk a walk of faith without feeding our faith. We feed our flesh with all these things in the world, you know, whatever it is, television, social media, that's not godly. I mean, even sometimes on my Facebook or whatever, if I open it up, I mean, because of the friends that I have and the people that I don't allow to speak to me, I don't see a bunch of garbage. I mean, I can see a little bit of stuff. I tend to just get over it real quick. But most of people that, if I pull up right now, you say, oh, Monica shared this scripture, and even though, you know, and Ernie posted this scripture, and whatever, and it's all that. But listen to me, even that, it's good, but that's not really, it's not as good as some other stuff. It is good. I'm not saying it's not good. It's good. But if that's all I did today, and I didn't take some time to literally personally be with the Lord, then that is taking the place of personal time with the Lord, and that's not good. I really need both. So if I feed my faith will grow. It'll be stronger. Help my unbelief. He goes, feed your faith. Mm. They ask him, why couldn't we deal with this situation, Jesus? Why couldn't we cast this thing out? Why couldn't we heal this boy? Well, he told them up there, he said, oh, unbelieving generation. Well, what's the problem? You don't believe. Well, how come I don't believe? He said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. He said, you're not spending enough time conversing, fellowshipping with God. See, prayer is not go to God and have a little talk with Jesus and tell him about all your troubles. That's a cool, you know, it's a nice little hip old hymn when you sing. But it's not very theologically good. We need to go to God in prayer and just spend some time in his presence and seek him. And like I said, if I need a car, I need to talk to God about the car a little bit and then let God talk to me about the car. If I need healing, I need to go to God. And yeah, I'm not saying I go to God and tell him how well I am. You know, I'm so well. I limped in here, dragging one leg behind me in immense pain and coughing my head off, but I'm so well. I don't believe we have to do that. I don't believe we have to deny the fact that we need the touch of God. But I will say this, God, these things are attacking me. This sciatic nerve pain is attacking me, and I limped in here, and I've got a headache and this and that. But God, I know that you are my healer, and I've come today to just present myself to you. Right? And then see what he's got to say about it. Help my unbelief. He said, build your faith. Feed your faith. Amen. So let's use our faith a little bit. I know we got some prayer requests. So we'll use our faith a little bit on these prayer requests. And I believe this. I believe God hears and answers prayer. Amen. Amen.
Amen.